the Defence Forces, in other news, have come out and said it's commended the bravery of Natasha O'Brien, who was beaten unconscious in a random street attack by a serving soldier, and said it hopes for her full recovery from the injuries sustained. Cathal Crotty, 22, of Park Row Heights, Ardna Crusher, County Clare, who also boasted about it on social media, walked free from court after being given a fully suspended sentence, which the victim described as not justice. Now, asked whether it had any comment following the sentence or if Crotty was still employed by the Defence Forces, the statement said the Defence Forces unequivocally condemn any actions by serving personnel that are contrary or do not reflect our values. Any conviction in a civilian court may have implications for the retention and service of members of the Defence Forces as stipulated in Defence Force regulations. Once due process has been completed in a civilian court of law, it becomes a matter for the relevant Defence Force authorities in accordance with Defence Force regulations. As such, it would be inappropriate to comment further at this time. The trial heard that Crotty remains a soldier based at Sarsfield Barracks in Limerick. His superior, Commandant Paul Toher, gave evidence that he was an exemplary, courteous, professional and disciplined soldier. And Commandant Toher said he was exceptionally disappointed and surprised by the evidence and he had heard, as it was very out of character for the defendant, adding that he was the most disappointed as Crotty, as a soldier, is expected to keep people safe. He walked free from court yesterday following the fact that he initially tried to blame the victim, 24-year-old Natasha O'Brien, by wrongly telling Gardaí, who had arrested him, that she had instigated the attack on O'Connell Street in Limerick on the 29th of May 2022. However, after he was shown CCTV footage of him setting upon her without provocation, he admitted his guilt, Limerick Circle Criminal Court heard. Hours afterwards, he boasted about the attack to friends on Snapchat. Crotty, who had been drinking alcohol throughout the evening in question, has never given a full explanation for the assault, in which the victim was punched up to 6 times. It appears he lashed out at Miss O'Brien of North Circular Road, Limerick, after she and a friend of hers had politely asked him to stop shouting homophobic abuse at other people on the street, the court was told. And that's effectively what happened. Crotty was arrested in June of 2022 in relation to that. Judge Tom O'Donnell wished Miss O'Brien well and asked her if she understood the significance of Crotty's guilty plea, in that it eliminated the necessity for a trial, which would have compounded her trauma, and if Crotty had contested the case, it would have been prolonged by approximately 18 months. The victim had said while she understood this, she'd already not only suffered from the aftermaths of the attack, but the 2 long years of trauma waiting for the case to conclude. Here is the words of the victim, Natasha O'Brien, reacting to the suspended sentence given to Cathal Crotty.
How do you feel about the sentence that you chose?
I don't feel there was justice here today. I didn't come here to this circuit court to stand in front of my abuser to receive some pocket money, because that's all this payment is to me in adverse to what I suffered and what so many people suffer. And I feel that this suspended sentence that he received is a broadcast to all young men in this city, in this country, that, oh look, I can go out in the town and do whatever I like and kick someone to death, and sure, I'm just going to get a slap on the wrist and a little bit of money out of my pocket, and I have to behave for 3 years, and sure, I can go at it again then. Like, it's really, really disheartening. I just feel like, what is the point in all these laws if you put up your hand, I'm guilty. The judge told me that, you know, he made it so easy for you. He pleaded guilty from the start. What part did he make easy for me? There's nothing easy about what he did to me. To say that he put up his hands and say I did it, that's not justice. It's not justice to be, for my fantastic guard who has supported me from the start, to have him cornered in every direction with CCTV, with multiple witnesses, medical reports, to show him he originally testified that I was the instigator, which was, then the guard has shown him the CCTV and he had to change his story. And then he took the guilty plea. I just don't feel that there was any justice, no.
You said you had to put up with 2 years of trial.
Yeah, 2 years two years of trauma after this incident. You know, looking around, like walking around, any male I see of resembling height, their hair colour, fear, and just like absolute terror. Like it was really traumatic. I suffered with long-term concussion. A month after my attack, my GP alerted to me that my symptoms of concussion were high risk of a brain bleed, and I had to rush out to Ennis Hospital that following day for a battery of tests. It was really traumatic. I was constantly blacking out for months, and I wasn't sure if I was going to drop dead months after. You know, it was severe injury, and 100% I remember when he was attacking me and I was on the ground, I remember screaming, "Please stop." And as I was losing consciousness, as I said in my witness statement, my last thoughts were, "He's not stopping, he's going to kill me." And my friend who witnessed the attack beside me told me he was not stopping. She was screaming at him to stop too. He was not. A passerby ran over and pulled him off me. In his testimony today, His solicitor argues that he stopped himself. He did not. The passerby pulled him off me. He would not have stopped. Maybe not until I was dead. I don't know. You know, so it's not justice. It's not. He's walking around. The judge told me, if I give him a sentence today, he will lose his job in the army. The Irish Defence Force, when you enlist in the army, you take a pledge to protect the citizens and civilians of Ireland. He used his special combat training that our taxpayers' money goes into to provide this training for our defence forces, and he used his special combat training on me.
Yeah, there you go. That's a very understandably distressed Natasha O'Brien, victim of Cathal Crotty, 22-year-old soldier who received a suspended sentence for assault causing harm to her. He attacked her in Limerick. It was an unprovoked attack. With me in the line to talk about, I suppose, the element of the sentencing guideline in this area, because a lot of people are getting in touch with us and talking about the judge and that they shouldn't have been allowed to happen. To explain a little bit more about this and talk in general about the issue is John Galvin, Secretary of the Kerry Law Society. We also have Deputy Pat Daly, Sinn Féin's Justice Spokesperson, and a solicitor himself. John, I'll start with you. Look, you know, hard cases make bad law and all of that, and I'm not asking you to come on and excuse or defend the actions of a judge, but just to explain, there are clear sentencing guidelines here, and two of the big issues which always come up, and we've talked and touched on this before when similar cases come up, is number one, an early guilty plea, and number two, no previous conviction. They play a major role, don't they, in all sorts of outcomes in this area?
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, listeners. Yeah, I mean, quite clearly, the judges have sentencing guidelines. Just one thing that I think just that people should be aware of is the Office of the DPP has the option, having considered and received a report from the court, from the prosecution team, the DPP has the option of appealing this decision to the Court of Criminal Appeal. So
that may yet happen.
But in any criminal trial at sentencing, either party, the prosecution or the defendants, can appeal. So just to say that I have no doubt, given the reaction to these circumstances, that this matter will be seriously considered by the DPP. However, I suppose, yes, Jerry, you quoted one of my lines that I've used to you over the years. Hard cases make bad law. I suppose if we look at what is the symbol for the courts of justice, it's normally that of a scales, and a judge is there trying to balance the scales between competing parties, between the injured party and between the defendant. It is quite clear, and it has been laid down by the superior courts, that where somebody comes before the court with one, a plea of guilty, and two, no previous convictions, that they're entitled to a substantial reduction in sentence. Now, in this case, I'm not sure, because I haven't read the details. I just heard a small bit of what has been on the media, that there would be what is called a headline sentence, what is the sentence under the whichever section of the legislation that this individual was charged. And then the judge can work back on the basis of
A 3-year prison sentence, John, which he suspended in its entirety in order to Crotty to pay €3,000 compensation to Mr. O'Brien without prejudice to any potential civil court proceedings.
You're right. Okay. Well, you know, it's as I said, not having been in court and having heard, shall we say, the entire of the evidence and the entirety of the plea. You know, I'm not going to sit in judgment, but I mean the judge has to, as I say, balance the various rights of all parties.
Yeah, and he does. And you, speaking to that, John, then he said, look, that he had a huge judgment call to make in respect of the defendant's future. He said he had to take into account that Crotty had no previous convictions, his army career, and his early guilty plea. So those were some of the mitigating circumstances that went into it.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, obviously, I mean, I would know, and I've appeared before Judge O'Donnell, this quite clearly was not, shall we say, a call that was made glibly. This was something that exercised, and that he had to apply, I would say, a considerable period trying to decide what way his decision was going to go. And obviously, it has definitely created a storm, because on the face of it, it appears lenient. But as I said, there is the option, and I have no doubt that the DPP's office will be today onto the prosecution team in Limerick, looking for a full account, and thereafter, as I said, they have the right to go to the Court of Appeal, which has, over the last number of years, I would say, by and large, where the DPP has appealed sentences which they say are too lenient, the Court of Appeal has increased the sentences on appeal.
On those cases. Okay, John, thanks very much for going through that for us. Deputy Pat Daly, good morning to you. Can I talk to you about, I suppose, the legislative side of this, or the issue and the calls that have been made that, you know, sentencing guidelines need to be changed in specific cases like this, maybe attacks on women? Is it as straightforward as just calling for that, or what's your view on it?
Yeah, well, good morning, Gerry and John, and to listeners. I won't comment too much on it, only that
I'm not looking to go into specifics of the case.
I know Judge O'Donnell, you know, having appeared before him for about 25 years, and when he says that the case is appalling, cowardly, and vicious, it is usually on the upper end of the scale. Now, I think it's important to take into account as well that sentences for this type of assault have been increased in the last couple. I think it was last November, sentences for assault causing harm were increased from 5 to 10 years. There's a general problem with assaults on women, and the way we lag behind in this state is our lack of data. If you compare to the UK, for example, they have, for every single case, it is compiled into data, particularly sexual violence, the gender-based violence against women, that they have huge data in relation to that, and they are able to use that then in order to manage situation better. We've been asking, I think it's under the control of the Judicial Council, and we've been calling for some time now, and along with many other groups, for more data to be in place. And we recently submitted, following a meeting with the Penal Reform Trust, a parliamentary question to ask when will more data be introduced. But, you know, sentences, as I said, for this type of offence have increased. It doesn't necessarily mean that it will make a difference. I mean, there is legislation going through at the moment to increase knife crime, for example, from, I think, originally set 10 years, but up to 7 years, I think, is the proposal at the moment. Now, the interesting thing is that knife crime, possession of a knife, for example, carried a sentence of 12 months up until around 2008 or 9. It was then increased to 5 years, but the actual amount of people being caught in possession or at least being charged with it has actually increased since then, not decreased. So it's clear that...
It hasn't proven a deterrent in that particular area, so it doesn't always follow then that if you increase the sentencing, people who perpetrate this will go, hold on, I'm not going to do that, I could end up now serving prison time.
Well, politically, I suppose it's easy to make these kind of calls, but it doesn't necessarily follow through that it will achieve
make a difference.
The result that you actually want, which is less knives on the street, for example, or less assaults, for example. So we have seen that when you have the data, then you can manage it better. But it's clear that, for example, in relation to knife crime, other the lack of investment, let's say, in youth services, early interventions, that kind of thing, restorative justice program, that's still, I questioned it all about that yesterday, as to only 1% of cases are referred to restorative justice, that can be dealt with on that basis. Now, that's slightly veering away from your question, Jerry. And getting back to cases of assault, it's clear that as John Galvin said, this case may not be over, but it's important to commend the person who was assaulted for her bravery in standing up. You know, when there's a member of the Defence Forces who is the person who was convicted, it takes some bravery to follow it through and to make your complaint. And I want to commend her for coming forward. And maybe it's that type of thing that type of stance can maybe reduce reduce.
And the publicity around it can reduce it indeed as well. We're over time.
Well, it's important that the public, stand up and say that the violence against women, gender-based violence, is totally
not
unacceptable, because there are many people that do not come forward, unfortunately, and this type of case is probably the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, okay. All right, we're going to leave it there. My thanks to you, Deputy Pat Daly, Justice Spokesperson for Sinn Féin, and John Galvin, the Kerry Law Society, for talking to us about that. And maybe education is the key here to try and make a change for the number of men out there who think it's okay to perpetrate violence on women under any circumstances. If you have a view on that, get in touch. On the way, call from the Dáil.